A few weeks ago, I walked out of my office, headed to the auditorium here for our Sunday morning worship service. I was met by a group of little girls, and they were smiling. They had cards in their hand, and they said, "Pastor, we want to give these to you." And as they gave me those cards simply read this: "Thank you for being our pastor." That was all that was on that card. This card said, "Dear Pastor, thank you for teaching us the Bible and about Jesus." And a picture of that particular individual and a picture of me with a lot of hair on the top, so I appreciate them doing that for me. Thank you for being so nice. I appreciate that. Pastor, thank you for preaching to us about the Bible and for taking care of us. And then I like this one that says, "Dear Pastor Brent, thank you for being our pastor. You are the most thoughtful pastor that I've ever met. I hope you keep working here," me too, "and that you keep working for God." And I believe that as well. And so those girls, they gave me those cards on the way to the auditorium, and obviously that put a big smile on my face, and they were so excited to give those to me, and I appreciate the words of encouragement that I received as I looked at those and just kind of lifted my spirits just a little bit. Along about that same week, I got an invitation from Greg Bozarth, and Greg invited me over to his home and said, "Pastor, I'd love for you to come over for breakfast one morning. I've got a pastor friend of mine that I'm a good friend with that I'd love to introduce you to. I think you guys would have a lot in common," and certainly the breakfast was delicious, the fellowship was great, and I appreciated meeting Greg's pastor friend, and it was just an encouraging time. I got ready to leave, and Greg said, "Pastor," said, you drink coffee, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And he said, "I want to give you something on your way out." I'm not kidding. I did not distort this. I did not put a label on the front of this. This is what Mr. Nice Guy, Greg Bozarth, gave his pastor along about the same time I started my intentional sermon series. And the title of the coffee is Death Wish Coffee. That's the title of the coffee. Death Wish Coffee. And I wasn't sure if I should take this. I understand it's very good. Apparently, it's very good at death, you know. I mean, with the name of the title on that. And I thought, well, you know, sir, you just worked your way into a sermon illustration right there. And so Greg has moved from, and Shannon have moved from being the nice couple to being on the wanted list here at Gateway because of this Death Wish coffee. And so I do appreciate that, and I appreciate him sharing that with me. Well, all of us today have been touched by some form of encouragement. We have. And truth of the matter is, we all like to be encouraged, don't we? And I think there brings a joy to us when we encourage someone else, when we lift their spirits and we lift them up maybe in a time of struggle in their life, and it brings a joy to us. So this morning, I want you to take your Bibles, please, and go with me to Acts chapter 4. And I want to continue in my intentional teaching series, and I want to kind of take our eyes off of us for just a moment. I appreciated those cards that those young girls gave me. I appreciate the breakfast and the fellowship and the coffee that Greg gave me. But I want us to take our eyes off of us receiving the encouragement this morning. And I want us to focus our attention on others. I want us to be intentional more than just, well, I really want to be a good encourager to someone, to actually being that encourager. And I want us to be an encourager today. I want us to be an encourager. This past weekend, as I shared with you, our marriage retreat was a great time just kind of getting away and being away. And on Friday, Chip and Elizabeth and Paul and I, we had gone out for lunch, and we'd stopped to shop just a little bit. And Chip and I were in the men's section, and Paul and Elizabeth had gone over to the ladies' section. And Paula came over to where I was, and we were looking for a couple of things for Blake. And she said, "Have you checked Facebook today?" And I said, "No." I said, "Should I? Is there something I'm missing today?" And she said these words to me. She said, "I want you to know that Kathy Gullett died suddenly this morning." Now, that name means nothing to you, but to Paula and I, that's a very significant name. Kathy Gullett was our high school English and journalism teacher. My dad taught with Kathy Gullett for a number of years at the local high school that we grew up in. My dad went to college with Kathy's husband, Nelson. And Kathy Gullett was one of those people that was just an encourager. She wasn't just a great English teacher. She wasn't just a great journalism teacher. She also was the ladies' golf coach at the high school, and she wasn't just a great golfer, and she was all of those things. But Kathy Gullett was an encourager. She was the kind of person that lifted you up. My senior year there in high school, I was the co-editor of our local, of our high school newspaper, and there was always an encouraging word for Mrs. Gullett. There was always an encouraging word to do better. There was always an encouraging word to be better. There was always an encouraging word to achieve more. And it wasn't just me. Her niece, I was very close friends with, and really just close with the entire family. And it was just more than just that. She was that way with everyone, every student, every adult. She passed away at the age of 69. She had knee surgery this past week and apparently developed a blood clot. And on Friday morning, she passed away very suddenly. But even at the age of 69, retired for a number of years from teaching, she was heavily involved in the teacher retirement organization. She was still involved in the local high school. This year, our high school celebrated its 50th anniversary. And just 2 weeks ago, she was video recorded of leading cheers at a pep rally that the school had on a Friday afternoon. And, you know, she used to be a cheerleader back in her day in high school. And she, at the age of 69, Mom, she was leading cheers just like she was back in high school. And she was an encourager. She was a cheerleader to every single person. And you go on her Facebook page and you read some of the other family members. And I mean, it's just tribute after tribute after tribute after tribute after tribute. And everybody saying the same thing. This lady influenced me. This lady impacted me. This lady did something special for me. She was an encourager to my soul. But as I stood there in the Belk department store, to be honest with you, I stood there with tears because her death shook me for a moment. And I told Paula, when I kind of gathered myself for a second, I said, I'm sad today. And I'm not sad just because Mrs. Gullett is gone. I'm sad today because our world is a sadder place today without her. She was just that kind of ray of sunshine. She was just that kind of ray of hope to people that you came in contact with. But as I began to think of just how quickly that happened, my mind immediately went to the New Testament, to James chapter 4, where James asks us the question, what is our life? And then he tells us, he says, it's just a vapor, it's just a mist that appears for just a short time, and then it quickly vanishes away. Anytime I think about that, I always think about my grandmother, and she'd always say this, it just pays to be ready. You never know when your time's going to be. It pays to be ready. I saw a church sign recently that read this, life is short, death is sure, sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. And that's true. That pretty much sums it all up right there. But as I thought about her passing, I thought, man, it pays to be ready. It pays to be ready. It pays to be ready. I went back and looked at her Facebook post, and just a couple of days ago, she was telling about the knee surgery and what was happening, and she was giving updates, and the next day, she's in glory. It pays to be ready. But not only did that shake me that day, but ever since then, it's been a reality check for me because I saw the encouragement that she was to me. I saw the encouragement that Kathy Gullett was to so many other people. And I just wonder myself, am I that kind of encourager to others? Am I that kind of encourager to my spouse? I thought about it all weekend. Am I that kind of encourager to my children? Am I that kind of encourager to my family and to my friends? Am I that kind of encourager to you? Am I that kind of encourager? And again, it's been a reality check for me. It's shaken me to my core that in my life, and when my life is all said and done on this earth, I want people to look at me and say about me, that guy encouraged me. That guy impacted me. That guy was an influencer for the cause of Christ in my life. And I'm different today because I met him. And it has no glory for me. It has everything of impacting others for the cause of Christ. Again, this kind of the mission statement, the vision statement, if you will, for our church is much more than our church. It's really kind of me and what I think in my own life. I want to help people experience Christ and grow in Christ and take Christ to the world. And as we understand that we have to be encouragers. The Bible tells us that we are to be encouragers. Notice these verses with me this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. just as you are doing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. We talked about that with intentionality already, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Do you understand that when you come to a church service just like this, you're an encouragement to somebody else? You are. That's what Scripture teaches us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. I ask you the question today, are you an encourager to others? Are you an influencer? Do you impact others? Do you lift one another's spirits up? I pray today that through this message, I pray today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of God's Word, that we'll be more intentional, not just talking about encouragement, not just appreciating the encouragement shown to us, but we'll intentionally put action behind it, and we will be an encourager to someone else. Now, as you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 4, one of the great encouragers in all of Scripture is found here in Acts chapter 4. This is the first time we hear of this particular individual. And we begin reading in Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter, verse number 32. The Bible says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each one as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now the church, as we understand, the growth, the development of the church here, the explosion of the church was young. It started here in Jerusalem. The Bible says to us that these young believers, they were unified. They were in one accord together. There was no disunity. There was no disruption among what they were trying to accomplish. The Bible says that the apostles were teaching and they were preaching to the people, and many and more each and every day. They were believing that Jesus is the Messiah, and they were placing their faith in him for what he had done for them on the cross. And as they did that, they were excited. They were on fire for God. And as they were building that excitement and this newfound faith and this newfound excitement in their life, what they decided to do is those that maybe had a little bit more, they sold their extra, if you will, and they gave it to those that had a little bit less. They wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of. They wanted to make sure that everybody was provided for. They wanted to share this new love. They wanted to be an encouragement to one another and help each other out. But as we read this morning, there was only one that was singled out for his encouragement. There was only one that was singled out for his generosity, and the Bible calls him by the name of Barnabas. Now, Joseph was his proper name, but the apostles gave him a nickname. They gave him a nickname, in essence, because of his character. His character of encouragement was so strong that they changed his name from Joseph and gave him the nickname of Barnabas. Now, you understand in Jesus' day, or the Bible times here at this particular time period, names, the meaning of names was very significant. And as they changed his name to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, what they were basically doing is saying this: this man's character and who he is from the inside out speaks so loudly that we're changing his name to actually who he is. In other words, you would say his nickname became who he was. I wonder today if who you really are, I mean your character from the inside out, became your nickname. I wonder what your nickname would be. Would we walk up to you after church and go, "Hey, gossip, how you doing? Good morning, Miss Negativity. Good to see you." Would we say, "Mr. Sacrifice, great to see you today"? Would we say, "Hey, Miss Joy, it's great to see you"? What would he say? What would it say about your name? "Hey, sinner, good to see you." Would we say that about someone? If your name was really a reflection of who you are, your character on the inside, what would it say today? I pray today that we all become Barnabases. I pray today that people, that we may have some flaws and we may have some negatives in our life that we're working on to be better. But I pray that somehow among all of us today, that people would be able to see a little bit of Barnabas in us. Now, oftentimes when we start comparing ourselves to Bible characters and Bible individuals, we often just automatically just flip the switch and we go, well, you know, I'm not Noah. I'm not a carpenter, and I don't know if I could sustain what he endured and really be in that boat with all those animals and my family for all of those days. I don't know if I could be Noah. You know, I would have given, if I was Moses, I would have given up long before Moses gave up. You know, I would have said, I am out of here. Peace out. I'm gone. You know, that's what I would have said. You know, I don't know I would have had the character of Joseph. I don't know if I've been able to withstand the temptations. I don't know if I would have just beaten my brothers up and lost my testimony. I don't know if that would have been me. I don't know if I could be David and have enough courage to face the giant. I don't know if I could be the apostles and leave everything and simply follow Jesus and then carry the gospel to around the world. I don't know if I could be that person. Man, I don't know if I could be Paul. I mean, Paul, he was hated. I mean, he was hated everywhere he went and then preaching and teaching like he did and traveling like he was. I don't know if I could be Paul. And I understand that. But may I say to you today that every single one of us, every single one of us can be a Barnabas. We can be a Barnabas to our family. We can be a Barnabas to our children. We can be a Barnabas to fellow believers. We can be a Barnabas to the people at work. We can be a Barnabas to our neighbors. We can be a Barnabas for the cause of Christ. And in just a moment, I'm going to show you what being a Barnabas does for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all be a Barnabas today. So what does it take to be a Barnabas? Well, I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 11. So we're introduced to Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. But let's find out what he did and one of the episodes, in a sense, of what took place in his life. The first thing I want you to understand about how you and I are to be a Barnabas is this. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit and faith. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit and faith. I want you to start reading with me in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. The Bible says, "Now those that were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen," remember Stephen being stoned to death, "traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch." Verse 23, "And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." Dr. Warren Wiersbe, in his writing, says Barnabas appears to be the kind of Christian that is well suited for each and every one of us, and his life should be something that we want to emulate. He was righteous. He obeyed the word of God, and he was faithful. He had high character. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was a man of faith. And I mean, should that not be said of every single Christian today? That we are like him in that way? That we are full of faith? That we are full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit? That we have high character? That we're thinking of others? We're loving others as Christ has loved us? We're obedient to the Word of God? We're faithful to serve in whatever capacity that might be? And I promise you, there are people all around us that need Barnabases in their life to help them to grow and to mature even in their faith and in their ministry. But may I say to you today, you cannot model what you are not. You can't model a Barnabas if that's really not you. You can't model a Barnabas if you've never been saved, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't have faith in God like you should. You can't model that kind of individual. What were the results? The results is that those that were discouraged, I believe as we've read here, were encouraged. But also there was a witness for Christ. Notice the last part of verse 24. He was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And the Bible says, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Listen, when people see Jesus in you, and then when Jesus kind of comes out of you and influences and impacts other people's lives, they want what we have. They want what we've experienced. They want to know joy. They want to know salvation. They want to know eternal life. They want to know hope. And when that happens, and we share the love of Christ, and we encourage those that are discouraged, and we uplift those that are hurting, which are people all around us, it makes an eternal impact for Christ. And that's exactly what was happening here. You know what Barnabas was doing? He was just modeling who he was. He was just being him. They needed some help. They needed some encouragement. And they sent Barnabas, because they knew who he was, down to Antioch to help them. He was on a mission. And he completed his mission. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. May I say to you today that we can talk about being an encouragement. We can talk about praying for people. We can talk about just maybe helping somebody out financially. Maybe we want to send a card to someone. We can talk about maybe taking somebody out to dinner. And we can talk about all of those things. But may I say to you today that the heart of real encouragement is going to come back to your relationship with Jesus Christ. When you think about what he's done for us, many of you were singing today. Some of you had your hand raised. Some of you had tears coming down your face. Some of you had smiles across. Some of you were moving. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. He has provided the ultimate encouragement in saving us from our sin. And you can't really provide real encouragement and true biblical encouragement unless you have strong faith in the Lord, unless you are full of the Holy Spirit, even as Barnabas was. But the second thing that we have to understand is that we must support what others are doing. Go back to verse 23 with me for a second. The Bible says that when Barnabas came and he saw the grace of God, he saw a moving of God among the people, he was glad. And as he was glad, he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Listen, when Barnabas arrived in Antioch, he rejoiced in what he saw. I mean, he was seeing that they were preaching. He was seeing that they were teaching. He was seeing that they were trying their best to be faithful to the Lord. And he was excited about that. He was glad about that. Now, to be honest, worshiping with the Gentiles there for him, that was a little bit of a new experience for him. But he realized, again, even though he was kind of out of his element, even though he was with some new people, the commonality was Jesus. And they were worshiping Jesus. They were living for Jesus. They were teaching about Jesus. And he was okay to worship with them. And he approached them positively. He did not approach them with a critical spirit. Many of us, we lead in with a critical spirit and we want to be proven positive, or we want to be helped to be positive. You know, there are some people, and I'm thankful for them, that are just positive. I mean, they give people the benefit of the doubt before they ever see what's taking place. And some people don't even give people the benefit of the doubt before they even know who they are. Listen, before you ever, and this is a little side note, before you ever criticize someone else that you don't know, listen, you need to make sure you take a quick look in the mirror and you need to close your mouth. Because you don't know everybody. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's happening in their life. You don't know. And God may have brought the two of you together to teach you a lesson and perhaps to allow you to be an encouragement to somebody else that you don't know. Barnabas was an encouragement here. I mean, he was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. They said, you need to go to Antioch. He said, absolutely, no problem. He goes to a new people, but he sees that there was something special about them. They were worshiping God. They were serving him. They did it with gladness, and he saw the grace of God, and he said, listen, I want to worship with you, and I want to help you the very best that I can. It was a work of God. And the Bible says that Barnabas gave thanks for God's grace. People were being saved. Lives were being changed. And Barnabas said, you go, guys. You go after it. I'm so excited to be here. I want to worship with you. The little boy said to his dad, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw and you say great shot each time. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for somebody to come along and say, great shot. They may have missed the bullseye, but great shot. It may not have been exactly perfect, but great shot. There are people today all around us, Christian people, people sitting in churches just like ours, your family members that you may not even talk about. But I promise you, the people are dying to hear somebody come alongside of them and say, great shot, keep it up. You keep on the firing line for the Lord. You keep doing what you're doing. Great shot, great shot. It's been said that our duty is not to see through one another, but to see one another through. And that's what God's called us to do. In our mind today and in our world today and our Christianity today, boy, we'll see through somebody in a heartbeat, won't we? I mean, you pull up a name, you pull up a church, you talk about somebody, you talk about an event that's taking place, and usually the first thing out of somebody's mouth is what? Negativity. Boy, they don't do. Well, we should. Well, how come? Well, how about let's just see what they're doing first? Now, how about let's just enter in with a spirit of positivity? How about let's just be intentional to give people the benefit of the doubt, to say, you know what, God, you may be working in their heart and in my heart, and you've brought us together for such a time as this, and you know what, I'm going to do my very best to be an encouragement to them, to lift them up, to show them the love of Christ, to point them to Jesus, not trying to see them through and tear them down. That's not who Barnabas was. And because of that, he had a desire to support what others were doing. But the third thing I'll share with you this morning, if you're going to be a Barnabas, you have to do something special to help. You have to do something special to help. Again, the end of verse 23, the Bible says that he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He emphasized this dedication to the Lord. He emphasized this dedication to the Word of God. And that phrasing there, to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, it means to love the Lord. It means to walk with God. It means to be faithful even in the midst of difficult times. It means to obey the Word of God. It means to commit yourself completely to Him. It means to obey Him wholeheartedly. And as he was going to those individuals and he was going to those believers there at Antioch, and he saw that they were a little discouraged, he says, listen, this is great. You guys are doing a great job. You keep up the work. You keep preaching about Christ. You keep sharing who Jesus is, and you remain faithful to him. You study God's word. You be faithful each and every day. You obey what God says. And when that takes place, encouragement happens. Hey, listen, all of us struggle, don't we? All of us have challenges. But boy, I'm going to tell you, if we feel like we can be uplifted, if we feel like we can be encouraged, if we feel like there's some hope, we feel like we're doing a pretty good job, we feel like that what we're doing is making a difference, man, we'll walk through brick walls, won't we? Barnabas understood that. And if you and I are going to be a Barnabas to somebody, we got to make sure that not only are we right with God, but we're supporting others in what they're doing, but we got to do something to help them. And he was talking to them. Not only was he there physically to help them in the ministry, but he was encouraging them. He was the cheerleader. He had the megaphone. Guys, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Way to go, guys. Way to go. He was telling them that over and over and over and over again. He was trying to get them to belong to the Lord in such a way that they cultivated a devotion for the Lord each and every day. And it just became their DNA. It became who they were as they lived for the Lord. Again, the early church was growing. That early church needed help. Barnabas needed some help. And so Barnabas decided that he would send out, and he went to Tarsus, and he enlisted the help of Saul, who we know is Paul. Notice verse 25 now, Acts chapter 11. The Bible says, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. It's been said that encouragement is like peanut butter on bread. If you spread it around, it just helps things to stick together better. And that's what Paul was doing. And that's what Barnabas was doing. Barnabas said, man, you guys keep up the good work, but man, we need some help. I tell you who I'm going to find Saul. Because you see, Saul had been saved. Saul had been transformed. Paul had been miraculously just created into this new creature of grace. And the persecuting individual that he was became a preacher of the gospel. And Barnabas heard about Saul. And Barnabas heard about what Saul was doing. And Barnabas knew that Saul would be eager to jump in and eager to do something for God. And Barnabas said, hey guys, hang on 1 second. I'll be right back. And he runs down to Tarsus. Saul, hey man, I got a mission for us. Come on. You want to help some people out? Hey, you want to preach about Jesus? Hey, you want to go right to the firing line? You want to go right to the front lines and you want to help some people and share the love of Christ with somebody, how Christ has changed your life and how you can share that with somebody else? Saul said, I'm in. And they took off. And the Bible says when they got there, for an entire year, they met with them and they taught and they preached and they encouraged and they loved on and they prayed and they labored together and they had all things together. They had all things common. There was unity. There was one accord here. Listen, you got to do something to help people. And that may mean that you just simply pray for them. You just pray for them. You pray for them. You speak kindly to them. You laugh with them. You be real in front of them. You allow them to be real in front of you. You physically do something to aid. You teach, you train, you mentor. You just be with. You just sometimes, it's just an encouragement to share life with one another. So, Pastor, why don't we go on a marriage retreat? We go on a marriage retreat to purposely get out of the rat race of life and to purposely spend some time, albeit 24, 36 hours, just focusing on our mates. But so many times there's people going out for dinner. So many times there's people just hanging out and fellowshipping. And I appreciate it. You saw the pictures and the guys, and David and Jeff and Oscar, just being David and Jeff and Oscar. And they were laughing and people were, I just sat back in the back and I just watched people. There was such an energy that was there. There was just such a vibe that was there. People enjoyed being together. People enjoyed hanging out with each other. And sometimes it's not just what you do. It's just the fact you're there. It's just the fact that you're there helping one another. When I first started pastoring, you get calls for all kinds of things. Hospitals, sometimes very intense hospital situations. Someone is hanging between life and death. Sometimes there's a tragedy that takes place and there's a death that actually takes place. And right after I started pastoring, and I had one of those calls that came. Paula, I got home, Paula said, how'd it go? And I told him what was going on. And she said, well, what did you do? What did you say? How did you help them? I said, well, I really didn't say much of anything. To be honest, I don't know that I really physically did anything, but I was just there. I was just there. And can I tell you something? That sometimes people just need people just to be there. You don't have to fix a meal. You don't have to give a $20 bill, even though that's appreciated. You don't have to clean out somebody's gutters. Sometimes you just need to be there and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, can I sit with you? Hey, we're going to get something to eat. Love for you to come along. Just being there, just sharing life together. But the idea, if you're going to be an encourager, you got to do something. You got to do something. Let me give you one last thing. Take your Bibles now and go to Acts chapter 15. Just flip a couple of pages to the right. Acts chapter 15. You got to be full of faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to be involved, encourage. You got to be a part of. You got to accept what people are doing. You got to do something for them. But then the last thing I'll share with you is this. Listen, don't give up on others when they struggle. Don't give up on others when they struggle. Notice Acts chapter 15. Look at verse number 36. The Bible says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with him one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Sicily and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul didn't want John Mark with them. I think because Paul saw John Mark as a quitter. You know, they'd gone, set out on this missionary journey, and Mark said, I'm not going. I don't want to go there. And Paul was disturbed by that. He was bothered by his perhaps lack of faith. And maybe he saw him as one that honestly wouldn't follow through on his commitments. But as Barnabas was there, and he saw Paul say that to John Mark, Barnabas saw a young man that needed some encouragement. He was discouraged by the news there, and obviously Barnabas' encouragement worked. Because when we read the gospel messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we understand that Mark, the gospel as recorded by Mark, was written by John Mark. Now, this episode that we read here in Acts chapter 15 happened around 50 to 52 A.D., and the Gospel of Mark was written somewhere around 64 A.D. The reason I share those dates with you, because somewhere in those 12 to 14 years after this episode here in Acts chapter 15 and the actual writing of the book of Mark, there was something that happened in Mark's life that kept his faith going, that kept him encouraged, that kept him believing in Christ. Because many times when there's a disagreement in church, there's a falling away. Many times when there's a spat in a marriage, there's a falling away. Many times when there's an argument at work, there's a falling away. And that's just natural. But how can we come to a man here that was basically pushed away by Paul and says, hey, listen, you really are not worthy to even go with us. For him to come back and write one of the Gospels, I just have to believe that Barnabas had a hand in that. I just have to believe that Barnabas was there with him. I just have to believe that Barnabas was there encouraging him to keep his faith. He didn't abandon him, even when he was struggling. And he supported him, and he encouraged him. I know sometimes when we feel like people have wronged us or let us down, it's easy just to say, hey, I need to move on. Who do you know today that's struggling? Who do you know today that may have gotten some bad news at work this week? Who do you know today that maybe they've got some family issues? Who do you know today that just personally is having a rough day? Hey, don't give up on them when they're struggling. Don't give up. Don't just push them to the side and say they're not worthy anymore. Don't just push them to the side and say, listen, there's nothing good that can come out of them. Listen, don't give up on them. Be an encourager. It was on June the 18th, 1956. That a freak accident took place in New York at a Christian Camp Lake. There were campers that were there. There were speakers that were there. There were counselors that were there. One afternoon, they went out on a boat and they were out on the lake. And as they were out on the lake there, they were moving along pretty rapidly and they caught a wave in the lake. And when they did, the boat bounced. And one of the young girls that was in the boat fell out of the boat. And there was a 50-year-old gentleman that was there, one of the camp speakers that week. He fell out with her. As soon as they fell out, the 50-year-old man realized that this was a very desperate situation. And he got to the girl as best that he possibly can. And he held her head above the water as long as he possibly could to make sure that she didn't drown, to give the boat time enough to circle back around. They realized what had happened, and the boat was circling back around. And sure enough, they were able to pull the young lady out of the water, and she was saved. But this 50-year-old man that was one of the speakers that week, he held her up so much that he himself couldn't hold himself up, and he sank down in the water. And he drowned that day. The man's name was Dawson Trotman. He was the founder of this group called Navigators. It was an international discipleship ministry. And Dawson Trotman was a friend of Billy Graham. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham spoke at Dawson Trotman's funeral. And he said this of his last act of heroism. Dawes died the same way that he lived, holding others up. What a legacy. What a legacy to be said at this man's funeral, to be known as someone who always lifted others up, to be that this intentional encourager in someone's life. Even in the midst of tragedy, he was thinking about somebody else rather than himself. As I look out into the crowd, it's hard for me sometimes to look on this side of the auditorium because one of my encouragers is not here now. I miss the sorry rascal Ernie Dove, don't you? I'm going to say this to you, that every pastor needs an encourager. Every pastor needs a cheerleader. And I often said this about Ernie Dove. Every pastor needs a cheerleader, and he was the whole squad to me. He just was. You know what I found out about Ernie Dove? He wasn't just that to me. He was that to a lot of people. He was doing that long before I came. And while he was encouraging me, and when he wasn't with me, he was doing that with somebody else. Today's Ernie Dove's birthday. Some of y'all know what this is. Because Ernie Dove would often come along when he found out it was your birthday and encourage you a little bit. And whatever weird mountain tradition that he had, he'd rub butter on people's noses. I thought he was going to snap Elizabeth Henley's head off one day. When Elizabeth turned 40, he got behind her. And of course, Elizabeth was a little taller than Mr. Dove was. And he bent her like a Pez. That's what he did to her. I saw him rip Mr. Piercy's glasses off one day. And I saw Mr. Piercy got a little spunk to him. All y'all sitting around Mr. Piercy, don't touch his glasses. But in a weird way, that butter would go on your nose and you'd realize who it was and you'd be like, all right, he got me. And he'd be, I don't care how many times he's done it. I don't care how many times that he's over in the corner and he's laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Man, I could tell you story and story and story, and all of you could tell story after story after story after story about Ernie Dove. But you know what he was? He was Barnabas. He's an encourager. He was an encourager. May I say to you today, I want to be an encourager. I want all of us to be intentional. I want us to be Barnabases. The Greek word that we translate encourage, it means to call to one side, to comfort, to console, to strengthen. The psalmist said this in Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. As I said to you earlier in this message today, Jesus provides the ultimate encouragement. When he saves us from our sins, he pulls us up out of that miry clay. He sets us on the solid rock. He cleans us up. He loves us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. And he allows us to be able to live for him and know that we have eternal life. There's no greater encouragement than that. But then as Christians, the Bible says we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we're to love others as ourselves. We like to be encouraged. We like to feel encouraged. And so what we must do is pay it forward. Pay it forward. I've often said this, and you will agree with me, and especially those in the Senior Saints ministry. For the last several months, there's been a hole in our church. Because Mr. Dove's not here. He just laughs. It don't matter what I preached on and how bad I laid an egg, that's the best message preacher I've ever heard. Hey, let's go eat some Bojangles. Yes, sir. But you know what I've learned? I can't bring Ernie Dove back. And neither necessarily would I want to. I'd say he's perhaps having a birthday party, and I don't know how it is in heaven today, but maybe he's having a birthday party like he's never had before. But you know what I can be? I can be the next Ernie Dove. And so can you. Because I can pay it forward. I stand here today because of Ernie Dove. I stand here today and have constructed my message today because of Kathy Gullett. So while you don't know her through me because you hear her each and every Sunday because of what she taught me and how she taught me how to write. There's been people that it's invested in me and invested in me and invested in me and encouraged me and encouraged me. And when I heard about Kathy Gullett passing, it shook me with conviction. I don't know how well I've invested in anybody else. I don't know how well I've encouraged anybody else. But I'm telling you, there was a resolve in me standing at Belk Department Store in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, that said, you know what? I'm going to be a Barnabas. I'm going to pay it forward. I can never repay these folks, but I can pay it forward. I can do something in somebody else's life. I can help somebody else out. I can share the love of Christ. I can be that encourager. That's what I want to be. How about you? What kind of encourager do you want to be? Are you willing to pay it forward? Or maybe I just would change your name to selfish. Because you rarely think about anybody else. It's always what you want. It's always what you think is best. It's always what you desire. It's all about you. Today, don't let it be all about you. Don't live in your sin anymore. Confess your sin and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, stop living for yourself. Get out of yourself. Get out of your miserable box. Start looking at other people and ways that you can help them, ways that you can encourage them. Find somebody that you don't know and shake their hand and tell them the hi and tell them who you are. Walk up to somebody that you know struggling and say, hey, listen, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. That's a Barnabas. I pray today that this church is known as people that are Barnabases.